Joshua chapter 7, as we pick up in our series, preaching through the book of Joshua, we realize that the theme of this book is victory. It is a victory in the will of God. And we know that it was the will of God for God's chosen nation, the nation of Israel, to get to Canaan land. And they have arrived. We've preached that they arrived faithfully. They have faithfully crossed the Jordan River. And the last message we preached on the great victory at Jericho. Wow, what a victory. It was one that there was a shout and the walls came down. And we talked about how it was a great act of faith for the people of Israel as they surrounded the cities and trusted the Lord to do it just as He said He would. And it was great to see the people trust Joshua and Joshua trust the Lord as they went forth in victory. We saw how Rahab was saved and her family, and how the Lord just showed forth His mercy there to those people. And now we come to chapter 7, and boy, things are going very well. And you and I have those seasons in life where things are going very well. And we noticed the last verse of chapter 6 that Joshua had actually become very famous in the area. Notice what it says here. So the Lord was with Joshua, and His fame was noised throughout all the country. Now, again, Joshua as a leader, I'm sure, was very encouraged, and he should have been. I don't necessarily believe that he was being prideful, and from what we can tell in Scripture. But we're going to see in chapter 7 that Joshua was human just like the rest of us. And we're going to see how there was a great victory, but with this great victory, there was a great defeat. And by the way, we need to always remember, just as a sobering fact of life, that the distance between a great victory and a great defeat is very short. And that is a reason for us to always be on guard, to guard our hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, the Proverbs tells us. And so we're going to see that in full display. In chapter 7, they were coming off a mountaintop experience. And the Bible says, begins in chapter 7, the divisions are not a part of the original, but it helps us with getting the context and everything. But this chapter begins with, but. Joshua was popular. His fame was noised throughout all the countryside. People were aware that, boy, the children of Israel, they are on the move. They are aware that the hand of God is on their life. And they're coming. They're coming. And, but the first verse says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the side of Bethel, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim. and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. So now we see that because there was sin committed, the accursed thing, the power of God has been withdrawn from the nation of Israel. And the people are discouraged after this defeat. Now watch the leader here. The leader, just as much as anybody, is prone to discouragement. He's prone to being critical. He's prone to being disgruntled. He's certainly prone to be stepping out of the will of God, his own life. And that's what we're going to see happen here. Notice what Joshua did. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell on the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. Not only he, but he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. There's a brokenness there, but it continues. Not just a spirit of humility and brokenness, but you see a murmuring will take place in this leader's life. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall ember in us around, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name?" And the Lord said unto Joshua, "Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. And neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee. O Israel, thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes. And it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof. And the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households. And the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man." You see, the Lord knows who it is. He knows all things. Verse 15, "And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel." So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarahites, and he brought the family of the Zarahites man by man. And Zabdi was taken, and he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, "My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me." And Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw the spoils of goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it.
So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones, and burned them with fire, after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, and wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. With the Lord's help this evening, I want to preach on this subject. There is sin in the camp. There is sin in the camp. Now that last phrase there in verse 26, the name that was called this place where judgment was given and received was the Valley of Achor, which stands for the Valley of Trouble. And I believe I'm speaking among believers here that know this truth, but may we be reminded always, brethren, that when we choose to go against the will of God willfully, there is going to be great trouble. Trouble that we do not want, and if we know the truth of it, we would not wish it upon anybody. A trouble that takes place from a man that let his eyes do his ruling. He let his eyes be his governor. He let his heart, if you will, lead him. His own flesh, which as a result, we see several things that took place. We know that as they were to go attack after this great victory, now, if they were to follow in the pattern of Jericho, this should have been easy. Which that's what they thought, right, brethren? That's what they thought. Do you know I have found in my life that I can easily deceive myself? You ever notice that, brethren? We can easily deceive ourselves. And these brethren had gotten to the point where they were going forth and they were going forth in the battle, and there was one that took of the accursed thing. And the reason it was accursed, because you'll remember the command that Joshua gave all of the people from the Lord. It was that nothing is to be taken for yourselves. Everything is to be dedicated to the Lord from Jericho. Nothing. So that was the command of the Lord, because it was for the glory of God. And we talked about that that seems to be, this was the first city. It was the kind of the idea of the first fruits. This is being dedicated to God. And God says, do not take my glory from me. And that's why when it was time to confess, and I do believe that Joshua said in a humble heart, just in the endearment that we see in the phrase, my son, I believe that Joshua was really brokenhearted for this young man. I do believe that. I don't believe he was condescending. I don't believe he was being arrogant. But he says, my son, what have you done? You need to make this right. And he did. You saw the word of God. It says very clearly, I have sinned against the Lord God. And it's interesting the way that came about. It went through, first of all, the tribe was to be chosen, and then not only the tribe, but the large family, which would be numerous families within that tribe, and then it would be narrowed down to the smaller immediate family, and then it would be narrowed down to the individual people that would come and stand before Joshua, and that's where it came to finally he did confess. Now, one of the things I want to point out this evening with the little time that we have is that how we as believers need to realize that sin is treacherous. Sin is totally vile and despicable to God. All sin is. In other words, can I say it this way? There's not a sin out there, if you will, that God says, now that one's not that bad. That one I really, I'm really not concerned about. Sin is sin, and sin put Jesus on the cross. It was laid upon Him. Jesus would have had to die for all sins, but any sins Jesus died for. So when we think upon this morning, as we thought about the wrath of God, if it would have just been what we would consider one little sin, do you realize that it would have been the same amount of the wrath of God that would have been laid upon Jesus Christ? So I wanted to say that, and then I wanted to say something else. Sin is sin. And it's all detestable to God. But there is another issue that I think needs to be looked at, even as we look at the account of Achan and his sin after the Battle of Jericho, taking the Babylonian garment and the gold and the silver. There were some others involved in that. Family knew about it. I don't want to go into all the details there along those lines. But the fact of the matter is, this man did this sin willfully. And I want to talk about how tonight, as believers, we need to understand that there is a difference between sinning willfully and sinning ignorantly. Now, in case I be misunderstood, I believe the point I would like to focus on tonight is not so much on what kind of sin this is, but more what kind of sinning this is. You see the difference? We're not looking at the kinds of sin. We're not trying to categorize sin tonight. But what we do need to realize as believers, there are different types of sinning in the Bible. And so we know that God even would describe and also instruct, I should say, to the priest there in the Old Testament about how they should respond when they have different types of sinning. It's the attitude that God looks at when it comes to sinning. It's what we have knowledge of. Now, let me hold your place there in Joshua and look with me over in the book of Numbers. Would you turn there with me? This is very important for us to see all together. Would you notice in Numbers chapter 15, verse 28. Would you turn there with me? All right, I'm going to read here in verse 26. Excuse me, verse 25. And the priest shall make an atonement for all the congregation of the children of Israel, and it shall be forgiven them, for it is ignorance, and they shall bring their offering, a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord, and their sin offering before the Lord for their ignorance. And it shall be forgiven all the congregation of the children of Israel and the stranger that sojourneth among them, seeing all the people were in ignorance. In verse 27, and if any soul sin through ignorance, then he shall bring a she-goat of the first year for a sin offering. Now it's going to transition from the people to the priest. Now notice, and the priest shall make an atonement for the soul that sinneth ignorantly, when he sinneth by ignorance before the Lord, to make an atonement for him and it shall be forgiven him. Ye shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourneth among them. So you see, there is one law for him that sinneth through ignorance. Now notice verse 30. But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Verse 31, because he hath despised the word of the Lord and hath broken his commandment, that soul shall utterly be cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him. Notice with me also over in the book of Psalms. Would you turn there with me? The book of Psalms, chapter 19. Psalms, chapter 19. We are now speaking about the categories or the kinds of sinning. And there are two kinds that we see here in the Word of God, as we just saw to the priests, were those that do it ignorantly and those that do it presumptuously. And we'll look at that and describe that more in detail. Notice with me there in Psalm 19. Would you turn there, please? Psalm 19. Notice verses 12 and 13. The Bible says, who can understand his errors? And notice this prayer. Cleanse thou me from, what does that say? Secret faults. Now, I'm going to explain a little further here, but mark it down. I do believe in verse 12, that's talking about sins of from ignorance. Sins based off ignorance. And then notice verse 13. Keep back thy servant also from, what's the next word? Presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Now, again, we're talking about two categories of sin. Now, I do believe, I like what one illustration I read about, and I thought it was good and helpful to me. But the hidden sin, or the secret sin, speaks of those sins that sneak up on you. It's almost the difference between these secret sins or secret faults being like a trap door. You're up on it before you even realize it, and boom, it's right there. We all face that every day in some way. It's that temptation that comes out of nowhere. And it's an unplanned sin. In other words, it might be a thought that comes across your mind. It might be a word that comes out of your mouth. It might be a response. It might be various things that come, maybe perhaps through because of your emotion. It just comes in life. And it's that sin that when you did sin, it's not like you were thinking about doing that all day and looking forward to it. It just came. Now, that is still sin. We don't excuse it. We don't say, well, that one just slipped up on me, so God's okay with it. No. It's not that way. You still have to confess it as sin. But it is a different kind of sinning. That was not the kind of sinning that Achan had. Achan knew what was prohibited. Achan knew what he could not take. It was clearly given. And when Achan went forth, there had to be some plans. You just don't take a nice wardrobe. You just don't take silver and gold and just accidentally stick things in your pocket. Or put them, or have your family to carry them, or some way conceal them from the rest of the Israelites seeing in some way. There had to be a plan there. There had to be a knowledge. There had to be those sort of things. And that, my friends, is considered presumptuous sins. That's what the priests were going to be stated, that there would be a cutoff because of that. And that's why David is saying, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. These are premeditated, they're planned, they're willful, they're deliberate, and they are assuming God is going to let me get away with this. It has taken matters into your own hands. It is really, in many ways, it is withhold doing good when you know it is the right thing to do. You know, James says he that basically knows to do good. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin unto him. And so when we know of a clear command in Scripture and God has says, don't do that, or the positive command, you need to do this. Do you know that if we willfully reject that, willfully do that which is prohibited, that's a dangerous thing, brethren. It's dangerous for God's people to get into that. Now, I will say this. David was a Christian. David was a believer. And I do believe that someone would say, well, you really think, Pastor, you really think believers can have presumptuous sins? Yes, I do. Why else would he ask the Lord to protect him from them? Those ones that take hold of him and put him in bondage. He's crying out to God and says, Lord, you cleanse me from those secret faults, those unplanned ones that come out of nowhere. And then he says, Lord, please keep me back. Keep me away from those things that want to latch on to me and drain me and totally render me useless. I don't want those things to have dominion over me. You know, I've heard the illustration I gave you the illustration of the trap door for the secret faults that come out of nowhere. But then the presumptuous sins, they gave the illustration. It's not a trap door, but it's like a big double door, like the one at the back of the sanctuary. And you start walking towards it, and you walk towards it, and you walk towards it until you get close enough where you can open it. You see it from a distance. And you walk that direction. So you're planning. You see it. I want it. I need it. I'm going to get it. That's the kind of sin that will bring utter destruction upon your life and can truly hinder and handicap the local church. Now, let me just make one thing clear here. You may think, well, Pastor, this was the Old Testament. That's right. So God dealt with them like he did with several other occasions. You could probably name, maybe somebody could correct me here, but maybe on two hands you could name this in specific situations. Maybe there's a lot more. I may be off on this. But where there is individuals that specifically disobeyed the command of God and God judged them immediately and took them out. There's not that many of individuals. I think of in the New Testament, Ananias and Sapphira. And I do believe God has those instances in Scripture as an example, not as the norm that will take place in our lives. Because if that were true, folks, this auditorium would be completely empty this morning or this evening. It'd have been empty this morning, too. Because we all have been guilty not only of the secret faults that we have to guard against and confess immediately every day that we weren't even expecting, we weren't hoping to do that sin. It came out of nowhere. But then all of us have been guilty of saying, you know what, there's a habit in our lives, there's a situation in our lives that we know is sinful, but we continue in it. We make plans to purchase that thing or to schedule that thing, to make meditation on it. Now, that thing that God has spoke to us about and we're, I don't want to do that. And we continue on. I think we all suffer when we do that. I study in this message and I just started writing down a few things that God had started working on me about. Some things that I need to make sure I get right with God. Some things that I have put off that God has been telling me to do. The kind of sinning. I don't want to get into all the details here of Achan. What was Achan thinking? His eyes, of course, were drawn. He was enticed, and that sin, that lust that bringeth forth sin, and sin bringeth forth death. I don't know if it could have been possible for him at the moment to realize, wait a minute, at the moment, this is wrong. I'm going to put these back. I'm going to go talk to Joshua right now, and I'm going to get this. I don't know if he had that option. I don't know what all was going through his mind, but the one thing I know, he took it back to the house, and he got it, and the Bible says that he even put it among his stuff. And I think upon that very fact that many times in all our stuff of life, There perhaps is some hidden sin that we're refusing to deal with. And thankfully, if that is true here, which is probably true for most of us here tonight, thankfully, none of us have to be stoned to death tonight. We are in a different dispensation, and when we have sin like that in our lives, whether it be a besetting sin or a sin that has creeped up, you know what God tells us to do, friends? He tells us to gaze our eyes upon the cross of Jesus Christ. He tells us to look to Calvary and says, if any man sin, we have an advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we sin, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what we do, friends, is we look to Christ, the great high priest, who said unto us that we ought to come unto the throne of grace, that we ought to come boldly before the throne of grace. Why? To obtain grace. To find help in the time of need, that we might obtain mercy. That's forgiveness. You know, we have a feeling that has not been touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but wasn't always tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And I'm telling you some good news tonight, brethren, as a born-again, blood-bought child of God, when you have sin in your life, and even if it's presumptuous, even tonight, you have planned to sin tonight or tomorrow, this week, you come to God and say, God, keep me from that sin. Not only do you repent, but mark it down, you must implement a plan. Just like you plan to sin, you got to plan not to sin. Just like you plan to sin, you have to make a plan not to. You have to come up with a strategy that is going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. And God is going to help you. Because I'm telling you, brethren, back to what I was saying about a different dispensation, I don't believe, now I could be wrong on this, and you can correct me later or write me a letter or something, help me out, but I don't believe necessarily, this could be true, but I don't believe necessarily that, let's just say there is, for practical purposes, there is someone in the church tonight. Let's just say there's only one that has a sin that's unconfessed. They're unrepentant. They have a plan to leave here tonight and continue in exactly what they've been doing against the Lord. Does that mean that the blessings of God are going to be totally withdrawn from this local church? I don't personally think so. However, it can still greatly hinder the ministry of this local church and the furtherance of the gospel. I still believe the Holy Spirit's going to be in each of us. And if we're as individuals yielding to the Lord Jesus Christ and serving Him, He's going to bless us just like He said He would and lead us. But as a body, we will suffer. Because the Bible says when one suffers, we all what? So the New Testament truth of that is that if you're in presumptuous sin and you're in bondage, you know what you need to be doing is you need to be going to another spiritual brother and sister and saying, look, I got a problem. I'm living in defeat. I don't have the power of God on my life. I'm deceiving myself and I need help. As someone that you trust and you get help. And that's what Galatians 6:1 means when it says, ye who are spiritual, seek to restore such a one that has been overtaken by a fault. you get accountability, you get help. And the Bible says we find healing together. Because when one is honored, we are all honored. When one is when one rejoices, we all rejoice. And so there, the truth of the matter is, do we totally forfeit the blessings of God upon our life because one is struggling with sin? Not necessarily, but I do believe this. It can hurt the body of Christ. It could hinder our potential for going forward for God in this community. And what I need to do as a pastor and preacher and as a Christian, I need to take that very seriously. And you too, brethren, you too. If you got sin in your life and you know it and you're doing it and you're planning it, you've got to stop and say, God, I keep me from that. I need to get help and I need to get accountable. Because the Bible does tell us that there is a sin unto death. We don't want that for anybody. I don't believe Joshua was excited about the fact that Achan was guilty. He knew that justice had to be served. He knew that God was going to bring judgment. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to give you a quote here that should really help us all. When we are at the terrible place Achan is, where he is confessing his sin to Joshua and he knows judgment is coming and his whole family. And some have said, well, Pastor, I don't believe that the whole family was judged. Okay, well, whether you believe it or not, there was great destruction upon Achan and all his possessions, including the things that he stole. And whether you believe the children were involved or not, I'm here to tell you that the Word of God declares that they were there. And there was great judgment. And the very fact of the matter is, even if I believe they were involved in the judgment, but let's just say they weren't, do you realize what they had to witness, Daddy? They had to witness Daddy. If they weren't there, which I believe they were, they had to witness their daddy being judged before the nation. It was a serious thing. And so what we know from the Word of God is that there is a sin unto death. And we don't want that for anybody. I don't want it for you. I hope you don't want it for me. I hope you don't want it upon another believer. But notice what the Bible does say in 1 John chapter 5, verse 16. You don't have to turn there, but I'll read it. You can go back, look at it later. Listen to what this says. If any man see his brother sin. Now, wait a minute. This is the Word of God declaring that if you, a brother or sister here, if you see another child of God sin, this is what you ought to do. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. And there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. In other words, what Pastor John is saying here, look, you don't want to pray that somebody would die. You don't want to pray judgment on somebody in that way. But he did say this. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. Now, what I believe he's saying here is that there is a sin that comes to the point where God will take them on home, but it is not to be that way. It is to be where they are to be restored, and that they are to not to continue in that. Because when you don't go forth in sin unto death, that means there has been some type of repentance. There's been a turning back to God's way to find that sweet forgiveness, that aroma that God says in His Word and even teaching us to pray that you ought to pray this way. Jesus, our Savior, told us you ought to pray this way. He said you ought to pray, Lord, forgive us our debts, our sin, as we forgive our debtors. Those that have offended us. You know, when we keep that fresh every day, I'm telling you right now, that is revival. That's living the victorious Christian life. when we are at the terrible place Achan is, we all feel terrible about our sin, wishing we had never done it. And let me continue the quote. May God help us to see the truth about our sin before we do it. May God help us see the truth about our sin before we do it. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I think of Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, where it says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Those things, as we read about, as we sang about, those things that I was once in love with, now as a believer, I am to despise. To form a hatred towards that sin, because the Bible says, Lord, I hate vain thoughts, but Thy law do I love. What a wonderful verse to memorize. I hate vain thoughts, but Thy law do I love. You know, Paul gave the Romans that exhortation in Romans chapter 8. Verse 13 that says, for if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Brethren, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Listen, as we look at Achan's life tonight, we're not here to cast stones at Achan. That's already been done. That judgment was before us. That was for that time. But I do believe it was for our example. But what can we do tonight as believers? Living the Christian life that God has given us. I don't know what He's speaking to you about, sir. I don't know what He's speaking to you about, ma'am. But if there is something that you're doing daily and you are premeditated in it and you don't have any plans of turning from it, now's the time. Now's the time to say, God, I don't want that to be a part of my life. I know You've dealt with me about it before. And Lord, I don't want to plan on that. I don't want to have it in my daily agenda. And Lord, when it does slip up on me, because Lord, I do. I fall short every day in some way. You know what? That's different. That's a different kind of sinning. That's those trap doors. And those two are handled the same way. They are confessed as sin. And God forgives it the same way. You've heard the old analogy given, haven't you, that it's one thing for a bird to land on your head, and it's a whole different thing for to let him build a nest. And that happens. Lord, we don't need any nest builders of sin in our life. Don't let them be at home. They're not welcome. That's why you ought to say that. You ought to have that a spiritual sign on your heart that says, unwelcome. Not welcomed here. Not in my life. I'm a child of the King, seeking to live for His glory. Brethren, I don't know how the Lord's speaking to you tonight, but I believe this would be a service, a message for us just to spend some time in prayer.